Hello, everyone. How are you today? Susie Reed Ezips, and I'm from CSM Practice, the customer success strategy consulting firm. And welcome to my channel, which is all about customer success strategies, frameworks, anything that you or your customer success practice at your own company need to elevate your performance, reach higher net retention rates, and have amazing careers. And I brought a very special guest to you today. Her name is Sue Nabeth. She's from, are you from Paris or England? I can't really say for sure.
Anyway, so I'm originally from England, so from a place called Derby, which is in the center of the UK. But I have been living in Paris now for, dare I say, let's just say a long time.
You've actually, for the longest time, had been a change management consultant, but in the past, well, as far as I can recall, at least 2014 has been very much in the trenches of customer success, building methodologies, sharing your thought leadership with the community. And you've been amazingly pivotal in the trajectory of Europe embracing customer success, because God knows that took us a while to get them there.
Yeah, that's when we met, wasn't it, Irit? Back in 2014. Yeah, it seems like an eternity ago. For Europe, I think we've certainly always been a little bit behind you, people in the US. But I think over recent years, particularly, I think with the COVID impact, I think we're starting to catch up a bit.
I mean, we came from a situation 6-8 years ago where if you told a person that they're going to get a new job title called customer success manager, and they were working in Europe, sometimes they would as much as resign because they would think that that would hurt their career.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I've heard lots of stories like that, Irit, and even stories where it's still a little bit the case where people were thinking of customer success as something a bit fluffy, something, you know, which is not quite tangible, dealing with making customers happy and all those kind of things. A little bit even, dare I say, I was even talking to one CS leader who said, customer success, that's all for girls. That's a girl's thing. So I thought, oh, well, you know, we need to change things here a bit. So yeah. I think the trajectory is starting to change. And you know, there's been some fantastic articles on this very subject, which were written on LinkedIn this last week. So one by Dave Jackson, one with Rav, at least 3 or 4 articles, which were talking about how we should really think of customer success as being a growth driver. And I think we're still struggling to prove that. Here in Europe, we certainly have been struggling over the past few years, but we're getting there. It's starting to take off.
Good. And today we are actually going to break down for those who are still struggling kind of like with customer success, key performance metrics and indexes and then indicators, as well as like how to tie and prove the value of customer success to customers and internally. You actually created a framework for that. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, sure. In fact, when I was a change management consultant back 15 years ago or so, the story was I was actually working for a French integrator. And at that time, we were integrating software, CRM, business intelligence, MDMs, e-commerce software, different types of software. And I was a little bit like a fish out of water because I was more kind of a business hat surrounded by people who were very tech and very geekified. And I was a bit frustrated because I saw that, you know, a lot of the implementations that we're doing were just a failure in terms of, okay, we've integrated, we've implemented the software, but so what afterwards? What happens? Are they actually gaining some kind of success, some kind of performance? So that was when I actually went to my CEO and I said, look, if we want to really differentiate ourselves, let's have an offer which is orientated around value and around performance for our customers and which goes beyond the integration. So that's when I decided to put into place a whole offer, which at the time was a mixture between change management and customer success. It had different layers. And at the time, I was really struggling to find a name. I'd never heard of customer success then. And so I called it the BBC, which had nothing to do with television. But in fact, it was an acronym for boosting, business change. And within that whole, let's say, approach and offer, I built a framework. So a framework, which I'm going to show you now with a couple of slides, and which I called AMPM, meaning activity metrics and performance metrics. And so it's a framework which correlates performance, so business gains and value, with activities which help you actually achieve that performance. So that's a framework which I'm going to show you and give you a few examples.
Awesome.
So just to probably put this in the context, and I think there's a bit of a paradox in the world of customer success today around value, because we call ourselves customer success professionals. And our mission, of course, is to help customers overcome their pain points and reach some kind of business goals. And yet, I think we're still trying in the customer success world to actually prove that. When I talk to customer success professionals and I say, what is your biggest challenge? They will immediately say, oh, aligning customer success internally and proving what I'm trying to do, what I'm trying to achieve with the internal different roles and stakeholders of the company, particularly the C-suite, and also proving my value externally to the customer. So that's a bit of a contradiction, isn't it? It's a bit of a paradox. You know, that's what we're there. That's what our mission statement is. And yet we're still struggling to do that. So this whole framework is about that. I think it's also interesting to see, and this kind of echoes what we're talking about just now, Eric. I think customer success is starting to become perceived as a growth driver. And I certainly think that we in the world of customer success are aware of that. And we're trying to do that. We're trying to get buy-in from the C-suite. We're trying to do our own storytelling internally so that all the different, especially the C-suite, will really understand what our value is. And there are some stats which I think are really interesting, which were taken last year from the TSIA report there, which show that, in fact, companies have grown their expansion charter for customer success from an enormous, well, before it was 10% in 2015 when we first met, Eric, and now it's increased to 47%. And tied in with that is a more recognition around leads generated by customer success. So that's increased since 2019 by 27%. So the famous customer success qualified leads.
Yep.
So that again is a great statement of how we're contributing to the bottom line. And another stat which the TSIA produced was the increase in the use of predictive analytics to predict expansion through upsells and cross-sells, and which is increased by 22% since 2020.
So all in all, this just means that with customer success, we have more data and thereby we can do better predictive analytics to increase expansions, but also the involvement of the customer success in the account in and of itself produces additional expansions in the tune of 27% increase since 2019.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, as you said, with the proliferation of more data, which is in abundance, it's here, there and everywhere, and with the tools which allow us to do that predictive analytics, you know, bringing these two together actually helps us to be more performant. So that's a great trend, isn't it?
Absolutely. There's always some challenge in every sort of like growth from a professional standpoint. What are some of the challenges that you're seeing customer success are facing in that particular predicament?
Yeah, well, I think really, really tied to that, Irit, is the KPIs by which we as customer success professionals are measured. In this slide here, you can see if you're another revenue generating role, such as marketing or sales or account management, the chances are you can move very easily from one company to another and have the same types of quota or the same types of compensation or incentive. If you're marketing, it's usually an MQL converted into SQL. If you're in sales, it's a quota. If you're in account management as well, it's always based on some kind of financial incentive. If you are in customer success, as we are, the length of different KPIs by which CS folks are measured is so long, you know, and I've only just put a few here just as an example. That is probably a problem because there are so many. At the same time, I think as customer success is positioning itself. It's probably also normal that depending on one context to another, on one company to another, that as customer success organizations are maturing, those KPIs are also evolving with the maturity of those organizations. That I can understand. It's also, I think, complicates how we as a customer success profession actually communicate what we're doing, because there are so many different KPIs. So that's a challenge.
There's also other challenges related to KPIs, like sometimes they're so laggy. Okay, so let's say I trim down the number of KPIs and I just hone in on churn percentage or number of logo churn or even retention. Yeah. Sometimes I fix the onboarding, I'm not going to see the results for at least a year.
Absolutely. That's another challenge, because a lot of the CS folks are measured by those lagging indicators, as you say. And so they can't prove that scope straight away. You know, you have to wait. If you've got a license, which is 1 year, sometimes two, sometimes more than 2 years, then that's a long time before you can actually prove your worth. That's absolutely one of the issues. And I think a lot of the time it's difficult if you're looking at the more leading indicators, some of which we saw there, like usage, NPS score. Adoption.
Or even NPS score, right? Let's say you increase that. Who's to say?
Exactly.
That impacts retention.
Well, exactly. And this was a great subject at the Pulse Europe event. There was one session showing that there is absolutely no correlation with an increased CSAT or an increased NPS and increased retention or NRR. That was proven with data. So it means that you've probably been thinking about this all the time, because that's an obvious leading indicator, which is easy to measure.
Right.
And we'd be thinking, satisfied customer or somebody who's giving a promoter score in NPS, they're bound to be the ones that are going to stay with us. But that's not the case. So yeah, that's another issue.
And I think the other issue is that, especially like you had the health score as one of the metrics for customer success managers, a lot of times we see companies create some sort of like a predictive analytics exercise. A statistician goes through all the data and they come up with, okay, if they had more than three outages in the last 3 months, the likelihood of that's not very customer centric. That's very internal. Or they didn't have upsells, or if they didn't have advocacy, that's very internal. That's not customer centric.
It is, exactly. And I think nearly all of our indicators, which we're using in customer success today, easily measurable KPIs, but they are, as you say, they are very vendor internal centric focusing. And I haven't seen many companies where they're actually thinking about, okay, what are the KPIs which we should be measuring from the customer point of view? So hence this whole framework around AMPM. And just the final point, which is related to what we're talking, you know, mentioning health scores, is that I think that all the KPIs which we're measuring right now are very risk focused. So it's a very negative way of looking at the whole mission of customer success. I keep mentioning before we were talking about we are churn busters in customer success. And so it's a very negative and risk connotation around customer success. And I think we should break with that. Talking about CSS being a growth driver, then we should be thinking more positively and more on the bright side of things. Yeah.
Hey, listen, it wouldn't be uncommon for me to see a health score riddled with how many support tickets do they have? How many outages? What version are they on? Like all these like things that executive left, like all these things that would potentially say, hey, this is going in a negative way, because the entire health score is to say, are they going to churn? So if you constructed it in a positive way, what would that look like?
So that's exactly it. I think we should stop talking about negative things. And just here on this slide, you can see that a lot of the time, the different buckets of KPIs that we're talking about, which are the leading indicators, such as usage, adoption, feature usage, etc. We're talking about brand engagement as well. So that's another leading indicator. CS and NPS we spoke about. I think those are all leading indicators. A lot of those leading indicators, as we said, are associated to risk and negativity. And I think if we're trying to think more positively, we should be thinking about indicators which are going to measure customer performance. And to be honest, I haven't seen companies who are actually doing this. I think this really represents the weakest link in what we're measuring today in customer success. I think some companies I've certainly seen who are striving to measure first time to value, which is positive. That's great. And it's usually measured during the onboarding process. But then afterwards, so what? What happens after you've got the first time to value? So what's really missing, I think, today in the world of customer success is the continued ongoing measurement of positive customer outcomes after this first time to value. So that's what I'm trying to do with the AMPM. So I'll just present it. So basically, it's very simple. So AM activity metrics, PM performance metrics. So the morning and the afternoon. We can't get to the afternoon without going through the morning by the law of physics. So it's very easy to retain. And we just have very three elements. Something which is meaningful in terms of quality for the customer. Quantity, what we're going to measure, use some kind of smart metrics to measure that. And some kind of timeline, of course, you know, by when are we going to be measuring? So these are just a few examples of what we should be measuring in terms of value, performance metrics. So usually with our customers, we should be measuring something which resembles the following. And of course, depending on which vertical, depending on the kind of software that you are selling, there will be different variants of these. It could be forecast benefits. It could be decreasing the number of hours that you're working, increasing productivity, increasing added value tasks as a consequence of saving time. So those are kind of business benefits, but often there's a very more personal benefit involved, whereas the people that you're actually talking with, the stakeholders, the managers of the teams, probably the economic buyer, what they're concerned is to be looking good in front of their peers and colleagues. So there's probably a personal attachment, probably thanks to my use of your tool, you know, I can get promoted. I'm going to be looking really good in front of my colleagues and be considered a real heroine or real hero. So those are all the kind of things that we need to find out. Now, with this approach, it's always done on a persona approach based on identifying what are the different jobs to be done for those personas. So we're going to be understanding the jobs to be done of our personas and helping them, guiding them towards how they want to be in the future. And this is where the framework comes in. Activity measurement really translates as what will be the leading indicators which you will be recommending, guiding your customer to do in order to get to their performance measurement, which will for them be a lagging indicator. So to give an example, here we have a persona. This is a sales rep. Let's imagine that we're selling Salesforce, for example. Mm-hmm. And the typical jobs to be done for a sales rep are create a business pipeline, nurture prospects, make business proposals, close deals, and send up follow-ups when they sign contracts. Typical jobs to be done. So what we would do is then for each of those jobs to be done, we would just very simply map out for each of those personas and jobs to be done, what would be a related performance metric. So here we've got something which is very tangible. Their objective is to increase closed proposals by 4% by the end of this year. That's the performance metric. That's what we're going to be measuring with a deadline. How are they going to get there? So you as a CSM, we would be actually recommending them to do certain things within the tool.
Create a success plan.
Exactly. It would be part of the success plan. Absolutely. So we would recommend them to, these are three examples, to increase the volume of the proposals by 5% per month. We would ask them, we would propose them to have a target of minimum 50% in their ideal customer profile in order to reach that closed proposal. And also the other thing which we'd recommend, which is more of behavior, is to stop using their previous proposal tool that we're using, their legacy tool. So that's a very simple example. Now, what I've just shown here are tool usage examples. Now, there is a problem and a challenge, I think, with just focusing, as we do in customer success, on tools, because it's the easy part, it's the emerge part of the iceberg, and it's very easy to see for us and for our customers. And we probably have a lot of data around that, you know, around usage, around the integration, around the setup, the adoption. But in fact, what we ignore in customer success, because it's hard, because it's less tangible, is all the stuff which you can see here, which is actually under the iceberg. It's the submerged part of the iceberg. So things related to the organization of the users who are going to be using your tool, related to the job description, probably new processes around that job description, probably new habits, new things that they have to adopt in the culture, like new behaviors, new routines, probably even changing in some cases the culture and the mindset of the company, depending on whatever it is you're investing in. And then, of course, data is always impacted. So these things are the things which we tend to ignore because they're difficult, they're less tangible, and it's more difficult for us as customer success folks to control and measure that, because these are things which only our customers can get their heads around. And yet, ironically, if we could help our customers with this more, I would say, with this harder part of the iceberg, that's where we as customer success folks could have greater impact and really help our customers to make the tools even stickier.
Okay, so I kind of want to recap because that was a lot to digest. If you've never seen it before, you've never heard of it before. The first thing that you said was, listen, when you create goals, don't just create the goals for the company or the organization. Also think about your client stakeholders. What's in it for them? How can you make them a hero? What's important for them? And do the due diligence on both. I would also recommend that you shared a couple of examples of how can you target, you know, what would be your success indicators for that specific period or for that specific organization as they start using your solutions so that it's meaningful to the team that you're working with at the client side. So if it's a marketing team, it would be this. If it's a sales team, you gave some examples of what could, like, performance improvement could be for sales teams if that's your client persona. So I think that's all very, very valid. And then you say, okay, so now what you want to do is that with the AMPM framework, you kind of want to say a couple of things. So first off is, how am I going to measure the actual activities, meaning my leading indicators that a change is starting? Because before I see churn being reduced, which might take me a year, I can already say that I'm impacting changes in the culture, in how people work, in optimizing processes. And that might be something that's much, much easier to track and measure. But also, what are my performance metrics, which are my lagging indicators that really define that we have achieved those high level performance goals that we identified right from the start, from the beginning. And so then you're saying, okay, as a customer success manager, so now that we know what metrics to assign and how to pick out goal and how to make them super personal so that we can get that enrollment, you're saying, hey, Ari, that's not even enough. It's not enough to create a success plan that says for you to achieve better performance as a sales rep, you need to use this feature, that feature, do it like that. No, you actually need to think about all the different things related to impacting change in the organization.
Yeah.
And that's where the secret sauce of change management empowerment comes with your amazing background. You're saying, look, don't just make recommendations on how to set up the tool and what features to use. So that would be the software. Also think about the fleshware.
Absolutely. And the fleshware is the hardest part, you see. And that's where even the customer, even the people internally at the customer, it's something which probably they don't address because they don't know how to always address
it.
So that's it. So
you're only saying that customer success managers need to be pretty much as they can experts on change management.
Yeah, I mean, they can actually do the change management on behalf of their customer, but I think they can certainly give guidelines on change management. And you know how we're always doing trainings for the tool? We could think about, why not doing trainings for the stakeholders and the managers of the teams who are directly using the tool on what they should be doing in terms of change management? That we can do.
100% agree with you. And so this is a shout out to anybody that's watching the video or listening to this podcast. Start thinking about, if you're a CSM getting trained on change management, and if you're an executive of a customer success team, train them on change management, because it's not enough to give recommendations to a customer. You actually have to walk them through how to do, train the trainer, or hold them accountable to changing the behavior, which is the hardest part.
Absolutely. Some companies probably have, and I've started to see some companies who have some kind of professional service team who are trying to help the probably top tier customers do change management. But I think we as CS, that's kind of the next step of what we can do in terms of our added value. Absolutely.
So yeah. The framework has AM and PM metrics. AM metrics are the activity metrics. PM metrics are the performance metrics. Give me some examples for activity metrics that you would recommend customer success managers or customer success teams to track.
Absolutely. So here, for example, in this next slide, you can see that we have the typical tool adoption. So that's what we're doing traditionally in customer success right now.
Right.
Activity, monthly active users, whatever. Now I'm going to show you some organization examples of activity metrics. Perhaps whatever tool it is that thing is going to impact the way they are organized. So it could mean that their roles and responsibilities change. I remember when I was deploying CRMs years ago, 20 years ago, I was deploying CRMs like Siebel, for example, and the roles of the salespeople change. It could change because they were using a new CRM piece of software. Their objectives could change. So all these organizational things are things which you can ask your customer to measure as a result of putting in the software. That's something which you can measure. From a process point of view, it's even easier to measure because coming back to the CRM, or even just thinking of implementing a customer success platform, just think about it. When you're implementing a customer success platform, the processes which you're using will be changed by that implementation. Yeah. So there could be new process milestones that you're putting into place. Handover meeting, for example, between the sales and the CS. That is something which you could actually track in the customer success platform and measure, you know, how many times are you doing those handover meetings, for example? Are they done in a timely fashion? Are they done before we have the business review or whatever it is? So you can measure those. There are probably new checkpoints which you're putting into place around that process. So again, that is something. Checkpoint, for example, it could be before the business review, we need to check that we've got this, and this in place, that we've done this, and that the customer has done this. Checkpoint. You can measure that. That's part of the process. Okay. So that's an example. Behavior, that's another thing that you can ask your customers to track. There could be, as a consequence of putting your platform into place, there could be new ways of communicating, new pitching. For example, there are lots of teams right now where the sales teams are adopting value selling. So yeah. In adopting value selling, that is changing their whole way of communicating to their customers and pitching. So that's an example. Behavior, I had a great example with one of our customers. They were implementing Salesforce and they wanted 100% adoption after 3 months. And they had the most fantastic VP of sales. He was a great guy. I loved him to bits. And he said, right, we're going to change our habits. Every morning, your morning reflex will be before you have your cup of coffee to go onto your dashboard in Salesforce. That will be your new behavior. That instead of having your cup of coffee in the morning, that would be your new behavior. And then you can have your cup of coffee. So we saw peaks of adoption every morning at 8:30 in the morning. And you can see, wow. Okay, everybody's doing this. Wow. So that's just an example of how to measure behavior. And of course, there are soft skills as well, which you could measure. So it could be new ways, as I said, of communicating, new ways of perhaps how you're dealing with customers in a different way, different soft skills, how you're handling objections, you're a salesperson, and you could actually measure these kind of things with some kind of checklist.
That's really cool. I think that all of these examples are so spot on. What about lagging indicators? Do you have some examples of what CSMs, how would they pick and choose performance metrics versus these types of activity metrics?
Yes. So just to have an example here, this time it's an SDR, a sales development rep. And here, for example, the performance metric is to increase the number of SQLs by 5% by the end of the year. So here we've got a few examples of activity metrics, which we would be recommending customers who are using an SDR platform, lead generation platform, to put into place. So here you can see we've actually categorized these activity metrics according to organization, processes, tools, and behavior. So that's what we saw with the iceberg just now. So here we can see that in light blue, we have a recommendation around organization. And here the recommendation is to make sure that you have somebody full time working on this, so that again, you can measure, make sure either internally or hire somebody, subcontract, whatever, make sure somebody's working full time. So that's an organization metric. And from a process point of view in Black, we can see that we've recommended to increase the social media outreach by at least 20%. That you can measure. That's a part of the process, and they probably have tools to measure that as well. The other thing is the tool. So you see here in dark blue, tool means adoption, usage. So that's what we're typically already measuring in customer success. Here, the two examples would be to increase identified new contacts by 25% per week. And the other tool usage would be identify at least 10% of ICP profiles. So that, of course, you can also measure in the tool. Yeah. And then from a behavioral point of view, you see here the activity metrics in green are stop cold calling. So again, that's something you can ask your customers to measure. And the other one would be to stop using your legacy Excel file. So again, that's something which you could track.
Just thinking about, oh my gosh, you know, I have the framework. I love this, by the way, because if I'm a CSM, I know that I need to think about activity metrics in organization performance tool and behavior. And now I need to think about what would I track for each, so I have a more comprehensive framework to show value and change to my customers. And I think just thinking about it, like, that's the skill set that everybody needs to develop for their own. And sometimes it's really hard to think about these things on your own. I know, like, as you're talking about these frameworks, I'm like, 100% so great. And then I'm thinking about my own projects with my own clients. I'm trying to change their behavior and adopt new processes and all of that. I'm thinking, wow, I actually need to have this as an exercise with my client to decide what it is. And then maybe once a quarter, once every 6 months to say, hey, where are we at with that? What have we accomplished? What have we not? And then put that in a QBR.
Absolutely. Part of this, the AMPM can actually be in the success plan. It's like kind of a roadmap. And then you're actually reviewing that during the QBR. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, you still owe me some examples for performance metrics. Do you have a framework for the lagging indicators as well? Like, how do you think about which ones you're going to pick?
Yeah. So usually it's something which is very customized according to each persona and each context. So here with this particular persona is the SQL increase, but it's always around something in relation to increased productivity, mm-hmm. increased time saving, increased generation of revenue, something along those lines.
And of course, either increased revenue or decreased cost, basically.
Yes, or decreased cost, exactly. And it's something which you need to be very specific about as well. And it is difficult, as you say, it is difficult. Usually what I recommend is that you get people together, you get the customer success folks, you get the sales folks in as well, you get the account manager, whoever's involved in something which is related to the commercial and the finance aspects of things. And you brainstorm together. And usually what we do is we draw up a mapping of what are the typical personas that are coming in and buying our software. And how can we map for each of those personas, what are the typical performance metrics which they would want to achieve based on their pain points? And then we map with each of those performance metrics, we map typical activity metrics. So in fact, we have a whole mapping, which is going to be a reflection of customer base and ideal customer profiles, so that when we're actually coming in and we're actually doing new onboarding for those customers as they're coming in, we can actually say, look, you know, we've had customers in a similar situation to you, and typically they have been trying to aim to reach this and this performance target. And this is how we've recommended, and this is how they've actually achieved success.
Well, I love this framework. I think it will help a lot of customer success managers elevate their game from just being so narrowly focused on increasing adoption of the tool to mm-hmm. actually creating change management within the organization, mm-hmm. elevate it to the business language, to the persona language. Talk about not just changing what they're, how they're using the tool, but how does this impact their organization, role definition, behaviors, processes, all of those should be part of the conversation. And a holistic success plan should actually include all of those and actually having a discussion with the customer. How are we going to measure success in all of these dimensions?
Absolutely.
So, wonderful framework, really. I hope anybody that does QBR, success plans, aiming to maximize value for customers, listens to this podcast and start thinking about how they work with customers to manage their value in a more elevated way.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, Irit? What I really like about having done this several times, it really shifts the accountability from the vendor to the customer to really understand that in order for things to be successful, it's not just storytelling around the tool, but they really understand, oh God, you know, I have to do lots of stuff here in order to make this work. Yes. So you as a CS can help them, you can prompt them, you can be in the stage wings, but they are the ones actually making all the moves and making magic happen. And that makes them the heroes or the heroines.
I agree. Yes. This is absolutely a fantastic session. And I really want to thank you for sharing your thought leadership, your framework. It's so well thought out. And I think you bring in those themes from your change management expertise to really elevate the whole conversations around creating success for customers.
Absolutely. Well, listen, it's always a pleasure, Irit. And thank you for our 6 or 7 years of friendship.
Yes. Love you so much. Guys,
you too.
If you look for a customer success consultant that can help elevate your strategy around how you talk to customers, how you bring value to customers, how you change your success plan game, reach out to Success Chains. They're located both in Europe and in the US. It's a team of three with Kelly Lucas, Sue Nabeth, of course, and then Jason Whitehead. So thank you so much for bringing your theme here to our show and sharing it with everyone.
Thank you so much, Erin. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll be in touch very soon.
All right, guys. If you enjoyed this video, don't forget to give it a like. Subscribe to our channel. It helps a lot. And don't forget to turn on the notification button so that you don't miss out on any future videos. As usual, I'll see you at the next video.